Are you numb from the waist down? Say amen. I'll tell you what, it's good being in God's house, and we have got more wires going on here, and I am not an electrician. So if I begin to gyrate and hit the floor, I was not slain in the spirit. I was electrocuted, amen. But these wires kind of remind me of a story while we're getting ready here. There's an old boy one time was driving a Ford truck. And as Ford trucks are prone to do, they broke down. This Ford truck broke down, and he happened to break down near a gas station, so he coasted in there, had a radiator hose to blow. And as he was there in that, at that gas station, he went in, and they said, "Can you fix it?" And he said, "Yes, sir, we can fix it." Said, "But it's going to be a while." Said, "I got another job in front of you." Said, "But if you would," he said, "could you tell me where a place is to eat?" He said, "I'm kind of hungry while I'm waiting." He said, "Well, across the street there," he said, "it's kind of a high polluting place." He said, "But it's got pretty good food. And I've done tore this thing up. I just throw it in my pocket." But anyway, he was there, and he said, it's a fancy place. So he went over there, and he walked in the door, and there stood the maitre d'. I'm talking about the dude in the suit. And he's standing there with his menus, and he's standing there, and he said, "Sir, I'm sorry, you cannot come into this establishment without a tie." He said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, an old boy's in an Alvin shirt, a pair of blue jeans, tennis shoes." So he goes over there, man. He said, "Well, let me go look in my truck and see what I can find." So he went over and got behind the seat, and lo and behold, there's a set of jumper cable. That's the only thing he could find. That's what these wires reminded me of. And man, they took that thing, and he began to twist it. And boy, he wrapped it around his neck, and he clamped here and clamped there and made him a bow tie. Well, he goes back over, and he walks into the maitre d', and he said this. He said, "Sir," he says, "is this all right?" He said, "Yeah, I guess it'll do, but just don't start nothing." Hey, man, you know why we preach? You know why this man's having this camp meeting? You know why these guys got up here and hollered and slobbered and, hey, on the World Wide Web? You know why they want to start something? Amen. Hey, look, by the way, you in the live stream world out there, these people covet you. You're in a recliner, amen? Amen. We'd like to have one. And take your Bibles, meet me in the book of Acts, chapter number 12. And boy, hadn't it been a good place to be. There's something every preacher hates to do, and that's preach behind two other good preachers and before lunch or supper. Amen. Well, I got stuck right there in the midst of it. So I'm telling you, I've enjoyed the preaching. I've enjoyed the fellowship. Good church. Amen. Good church. And I also, what did I do? I got another one. Have mercy, brother. You're welcome. Talking about these young people. By the way, James, that old boy stood up, kind of impromptu sermon back there. He's from our church. Amen. I'm glad. Hey, look at the way these. If you're under 19, stand up in here. Stand up. If you're under 19. Look at that. Some of y'all need to be on the altar, by the way. You lie like a dog. Look at them. Thank you. You don't have to guess one second what they are. I mean, some kids today, you've got to do a DNA test, amen, to find out if they're male or female. These kids look like young ladies and young men, amen? I like that. That just blesses this preacher today. But anyway, book of Acts, chapter number 12. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Stand with me. Acts, chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 1. Now about the time that Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quatorians of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, The same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals," and so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garments about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto an iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened unto them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, just to bless this message. I know, Lord, we're tired this morning. And Lord, I know that there's been much said and there's much to process in all the preaching and all the good preaching this morning. But God, I pray in this last message of this afternoon that you would please just once again, just tear up the fallow ground, Lord, and let your word penetrate and do a work in us that when we leave this place, we'll leave with a high hand, as Israel of old, when you delivered and God brought them out of Egypt, that we'll go out into this world with the words on our lips, Jesus saves. We love you and we praise you. Amen. You may be seated. Well, when I started thinking about what to preach, and these guys have hit all over it, around it, under it, over again, you know, inside out, but I just got a simple thought for you tonight, this evening, and it's simply this. Do you know that the world, and this has been mentioned in part, that the world is trying its best to shut down the church? Can you agree? I mean, you look at the politicians and you look at the political movement across our land and the new separation of church and state bunch, you know, trying to get us out of mainstream. Well, but we've just about done it on our own, amen. They didn't have to tell us not to do it. The church is just about quit. But you know what? The devil is, I was talking to a fellow earlier, and I was telling him that, you know, hey, Satan is a master strategist. And I can tell you, he's been around longer than any of us. He has perfected his ability to do one thing, and that is to conquer, divide, and conquer. Now, he cannot destroy the church, right? Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail against God's church. But I'll tell you what he does. He comes in and he divides and separates. And this afternoon I'd like to do this. I would like to just remind you of a few things. Let's look back in Bible history for a moment. And we'll remember that this has always been the ploy of Satan to do this very thing that I'm going to preach on. Satan wants to stop the people of God. That is his number one priority, is if he can get the church to stop and just sit down in our laurels, amen, sit on our blessed assurance and just go on into eternity and not affect our society. He has won a major battle. And what this preacher is going to try to accomplish today is to help you understand there are some things that Satan cannot stop. Aren't you glad of that today? Let's look back in Bible history just from our minds. You've been raised in church, most of you, and I want to do this. I want us to go back at the beginning of the life of Jesus Christ. We have a man by the name of Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas was the Herod during the times of Joseph and Mary and the birth of Jesus. If you'll remember, Satan moved in the heart of this man, Herod Antipas, and he wanted him to stop the arrival of Jesus. Amen. If you'll remember the story, the Bible says that the Magi came, or the wise men came, they told them simply this. He said, "When you have found him, bring word to me so I can go worship him." Now, I want to say this to you. That was far from the heart of King Herod. He wanted him dead. But you know what? The Bible said that an angel came and spoke to these three wise men and said, hey, don't you go back through downtown by the courthouse. You go home another way. Amen. And they listened to the word of God, and Jesus was there, hey, and went on after the death of Herod. Amen. Aren't you glad there's some things that Satan can't stop? We think about the miracle working ministry of Jesus. The very ministry of our Lord and Savior. At the age of about 33 years old, the Bible says that they took Jesus. He met John Baptist there at the Jordan River. He baptized him. He come up and went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Remember that story? There was a reason for that temptation. A couple main reasons. One of them was simply this. That Jesus wanted to go through these temptations to prove to us that He can help us through them when we face them. Amen? He has been tempted in every fashion that we have been tempted. But Satan's side of that story is he wanted to stop Him. He did not want Jesus to reveal who He was. He did not want Jesus to work, as the brother said a while ago, and talk about the first miracle of Jesus, the Feast of Cana Galilee, or the marriage supper at Cana Galilee. He did not want that to start. The Bible says that Jesus dealt with the devil the way every child of God needs to deal with the devil. And that, you know, you say, preacher, how do we deal with this wicked world? How do we deal with the devil? You use the same tool that Jesus used, and that was the Word of God. Where's my brother? Says he's an administrator of a Christian school. Where you at, brother? Right there. Hey, been there. Bought the shirt, brother. I'm telling you. I know where he is. Amen. But listen to me. We had a school in West Virginia, a church had started a mission work, and we started that school. Well, we didn't have no doctors or PhDs, man. We was a little old small church just trying to start something, get our kids out of the wicked public school system. Amen. And we done our best. We had this curriculum, and this particular curriculum was our authority. Somebody said, hey, do you have somebody there that's a doctor or somebody that is greatly trained in the art of education? No. All we had to do is give the curriculum to the children and teach the children the curriculum. Right? It was our authority to be able to teach those children. Can I tell you something? We have no authority other than this book right here. That's why people like Roy Helms and other great men of God sitting in here says don't tamper with the Bible. Hey, stay with the King James Version. Amen, I'll say it. Nobody has this can't me. That's the only thing they ain't said. Amen. They done said everything else. But I'm for the old book. Amen. You say you're just an old, unlearned, ignorant. What was it they said back there that the brother read out of Acts a while ago? Ignorant and unlearned. Count me among the number. Hey, if that's what being ignorant and unlearned is, that book is my authority. Why? Because one day I heard the preaching from an old King James Bible that called this old wicked sinner and my little Mormon wife. Yeah, she was a Mormon, but we knelt at an old-fashioned altar and got saved. Why? Because of the authority and the power of that book right there. Can I tell you something? Church, we have no authority other than what thus saith the Word of God. God didn't put you here to answer the world's problems. He gave us a book that done that. Amen? All we got to do is give Him the Word. Can I say something to you learned brothers? And I love you. But don't fall into the snare of debating the Bible. And by the way, it don't need defending. But I'm an apologist. Well, I'm sorry. You can apologize. No, listen to me. Listen to me. You do not need to defend that book. Do you have to defend a Rottweiler? You turn it loose, amen? That's what you do with the Bible. We sit around and say you've got to defend it because we're not giving it out. Give out the Word of God. It is the answer. Let me tell you something. We see Jesus as He goes into the wilderness. He done everything. Satan said, just jump off a cliff. I mean, he's trying everything. Jesus said, thus it is written. Amen. It is written. Now listen to me. He tried to stop Jesus at his birth. He tried to stop Jesus in his ministry. He'll try to stop you. But listen to me. He tried to stop him at his crucifixion. A lot of people don't believe that. Somebody said, no, now come on. No, you listen to me. The Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, whether you want to really dwell on this or not, he was 100% man. As well as 100, the only 200% creation ever was. Because he was 100% God and 100% man. But I'm going to tell you the man side of him. When he was in the garden, he, unlike me and you, we don't know what tomorrow holds, the brother said a while ago, but he does. He knew what he was going to face at Calvary. He knew the ridicule and the rejection by his own creation. He knew, listen to me, he knew the suffering that physical flesh was going to go through. You say, well, what's the devil got to do with it? I'll tell you what. Blessed are you which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Matthew 5, the boy read a while ago. Listen to me. The devil will get you sitting around thinking, man, you can't handle this. You can't do this. Hey, Jesus himself was in such anguish, the Bible says, that he gushed, as it were, great drops of blood as he prayed, sweat as great drops of blood. Some smart fella said, hey, it can literally happen that the blood vessels in your body can literally rupture if you're under so much stress. Well, I'm telling you, I'm glad to submit to you today. There is some things that Satan cannot stop. He did not stop his miracle working ministry. He did not stop him going to the cross. You said, now that's heresy. No, Jesus prayed to his Father. He said, if there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way. But there was no other way. But thanks be unto God, there were some things that Satan couldn't stop. Now, I don't have a lot of scripture, but I can tell you this. Satan didn't want him to get out of that grave. Y'all agree with that? Amen. He did not want him to resurrect on that third morning, on that Sunday morning. He did not want Jesus to come out. But thank God, that morning, when the Shekinah glory of God came down into that little old stone room, blessed God, up from the grave, he arose, and Satan couldn't stop it. Amen. By the way, he ain't going to stop him coming back the next time either. But you listen to here. There's some things in your life that Satan can't stop. You say, preacher, really? Well, see, the Bible teaches us in the book of Acts that we'll receive power. Now, I've heard this verse abused, but I'm telling you, when you got saved, and you got the Holy Ghost of God come upon you, amen, and dwelt in you, let me tell you what happened. Something miraculous happened. You received power. Power. They're cooking down there of all things. It ain't bad enough I got to preach. Come behind two good preachers. I got dinner down there. Good night. Well, listen. Let's go real quick there in the book of Acts chapter 12. Let's look at the first thing in your life that Satan can't stop. Number one, Peter therefore in verse number 5 was kept in prison, but prayer was being made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Let me tell you this. Hey, he cannot stop the prayer of God's saints. Amen. Hey, we've got the most powerful tool ever given to man. We was talking about it earlier. Some of us, I've talked so much just the last day, I don't even know who I talked to. But listen, I'm going to tell you this. Prayer, Brother Roy Helms, should not be our last course of action. Don't it make you just want to regurgitate? I know it's not good for TV or internet, brother. But I'm telling you, it makes me sick to hear somebody say, well, I guess all we can do is pray. Good night! That ought to be the first thing you do, people. If we get on our face before God, hey, and when we've got a loved one that's in drugs, when we've got people that are out in sin, when we've got problems in our life, if we'll take those things to Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, Satan cannot stop the prayers of the children of God. You know what was happening? John Mark, young preacher. He was a quitter and then a succeeder. Man, he quit, but he got back in, started, and done good. Old John Mark, there at his mama's house. You can read over a little later here in this chapter. You'll find out that prayer was being made for Peter. They had cottage prayer meeting. When's the last time you ever know to a church member said, hey, I need me about 15, 20 of y'all come over to the house and we're not going to have coffee. We're not going to have chicken. We're going to pray. Amen? When's the last time that happened? You know why? We have lost the understanding of the power of prayer. Listen to me. I thought about old Daniel. I love Daniel. That's one of my Old Testament heroes. Old Daniel. There was a national decree. Some of the political correct crowd. Right? Hey! The king has made a decree that if anybody prays to anybody but him, they're going to go to the lion's den. Don't y'all realize that's what they're doing today? Hey, you stand up for Jesus. Kids, they stopped y'all praying in public schools back in 1962. That's exactly 55 years ago. You know how? That's when I was born. Listen, prayer was thrown out of our public school systems. We can't have church and state together, they said. Listen to me. And they stopped prayer in schools. They took the Bible out of schools. The Bible was the premier handbook when America was first founded as a nation in the public school system, by the way, which was the church. To become a state in the United States of America, you had to have two books in your school, in your school system. Number one, a King James. That's what they had back in. They wasn't looking for something else to condone their sinful lifestyle. I'm going to quit, Roy. Listen, the King James Bible and a watts hymnal. If you didn't have those two books in your school, you could not become a state in the original 13 colonies. Tell me separation of church and state. But you say, preacher, Satan stopped it. If that's the only place your kids is getting the Word of God, that's in church. If the only place they're listening to Christian music is in church, it's not the government's fault. Your fault. Amen. Satan can't stop it, but you can. By not getting the Word of God in your lives of your children, by not getting them underneath a good, solid Christian music. I know y'all's numb. I know you're tired. But listen, thank God, old Daniel. They looked at him and they said, Daniel, you can't pray no more. Kids, I wish God raised up some Daniels in these kids right here. You can't pray, Daniel. You pray three times a day. We know that. We watch you, as the brother preached a while ago. We're watching your life. They said, Daniel, you can't pray to your God anymore. Daniel said, really? Hey, you will not be politically correct if you pray, Daniel, to anybody but Darius. Right? Daniel said, well, let me think about it. I tell you what, I'm going to go home and pray about it. Amen. Listen to me. The only one that can stop you from praying is you. Satan can't. Oh, he can get sin active in your life. I like to look at it like this. Of course, I'm one of these deep guys anyway. I like to see about an 8-inch pipe going from right here, my forehead, right on up through the ceiling, through the first heaven, the second one, right on up into the throne room of God. I go, Father! I hear you, son. Then you take something like a big old beach towel. Right? We'll look at that as sin. You get sin in your life, like shoving that towel up in that pipe. He's not going to hear you. The only prayer he wants to hear from somebody who has sinned in the pipes, amen, is a repentant prayer. God, take the towel out. I don't like not talking to you, God. I don't want to hear from heaven, amen. Let's get the towel out the pipe. See, the only one who can stop prayer between you and God is you. Satan can't stop it. Amen. Daniel went down that lion's den. I can tell you what, if he's any kind of a man like any man I ever met was a man, he was praying. Amen. Listen, he cannot stop. As it was made for Peter here in the book of Acts. Number two, he cannot stop the peace of God. You believe, preacher, he can't stop prayer? No, sir. Only we can do that with the sin in our life. Can he stop the peace of God in our life? The Bible says, here's Peter. I love Peter and Paul. They were either starting revivals or riots. Amen? They was going one to two. I hope we start revival here. I really do. I hope revival begins through the preaching of God's Word. But here he is. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was taking Michael, eating Paxil, taking him a little sanctified sip to calm his nerves. He's asleep. They were talking about killing him. They just killed James with a sword. And here he is between two soldiers, asleep. See, I'm going to tell you something. Satan can't stop the peace of God. There is a peace that passes all understanding. You say, preacher, this world's got me a nervous wreck and I don't know what to do. I mean, I thought Trump was going to fix. Trump ain't going to fix nothing. God's people are going to fix it by getting right with God. By what that little girl stood up here and quoted. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that's when the peace comes. See, the world's going where it's going. If y'all have read the end of the book, they've done got a period. Hey, I think it's page 1323 in the Chainsaw Reference King James Version Bible that I'm preaching out of. And right there, after the last word in the Bible, was two little words. The end. It's coming. And it's going to happen exactly like the Word of God says it is. So you can either learn to live with the peace of God in your life, or you can walk around a basket case. Well, I want you to know there is a peace which passes all understanding, and Satan cannot take it away. Quick illustration. Listen, I was 9/11. Y'all remember where y'all were on 9/11? That's when the planes and the World Trade. You all know where I was? 37,000 feet over the North Atlantic. Coming back from Europe, from Moldova. I'd left Amsterdam, Holland. We was 2.5 hours, probably out there about where the Titanic went down. And all, I'm witnessing, so help me, my hands up, Lord. I was witnessing to a Hindu physicist, Brother Mike. Me. I can't even do the King's English any justice, man. But I'm sitting here talking to a Hindu physicist. And I asked him, I said, we got into it, and I asked him about his religion. He said, oh, I'm a Hindu. You know, he's coming back as a cricket or a 8-point buck in redneck country. I don't know. But listen, he's coming back as something else. So me and him sitting there talking. And I've got my little King James New Testament Bible in my hand. I'm sitting there, and I'm just getting ready to unload on this cat. And all of a sudden, we're in that plane that goes. People started screaming. Some woman, I found out later, was in a plane, an emergency crash plane wreck just a week before. She was screaming, man. People were going, oh! And I'm sitting there. I looked over this little Hindu guy. He's done started turning pale. And they're rather dark little fellas. You know what I'm saying? Listen, he's turning pale. The pilot comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, I've always wanted to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing some mechanical difficulty.
we have some problem with our hydraulics, and we feel it prudent to go back to Amsterdam.
Oh, that just helps. You know, of course, he's lying like a dog. They shut airspace down in America, and we got stuck 5 days in Amsterdam. But they didn't want to trigger another terrorist on the plane. They was afraid of that. Anyway, in this little hillbilly brain, a light come on. Ding. I'm sitting there, brother, and I thought, I looked at him. He's faded two or three colors. And he's looking right over the wing. And he's like, I said, sir, yes. I said, we was talking about the difference between what I believe and what you believe. I said, right here's a perfect example. I said, sir, I'm not afraid to die. If I die, I don't go down. I go up. He's looking at me like, oh, Lord, what have I done sitting down beside us? I said, sir, I've been born again. And I don't have to worry about if this plane falls, because I've got a place in heaven. Where are you going? He's just, when I realized that he's looking back out at the wing again, I done lost him. I said, here, I took his little bony hand, I stuck it in King James New Testament in his hand. I said, sir, will you promise me, if we get out of this thing alive, I'm buttering it up a little bit. I just want to help him. Aggressive evangelism. I said, if we get out of this thing alive, I said, would you promise me that you'll read this book? He said, I'll read that book. I said, okay. You know why? It don't need Arnold Sheets. We just need to get the Word of God in people's lives. Amen? I hope to get to meet that little fella one of these days in heaven. I don't know, but I know that there is the devil cannot take away the peace of God from a child of God's life if he's right with God. Number three, let's keep going, good night. Let's go up here. Number seven, verse seven. And behold, I like that word. The angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined. They've been talking about the light. I said, they're going to preach a message. Lousy bunch anyway. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Satan can't take away the presence of God. He's down there asleep. And the Bible says, and a light shined. Can I tell you something? Do you know that light was created before the sun? You know why? He is the light thereof. Amen. I'm not talking about a sun ray coming through the bars. I'm talking about the sun showing up. I don't care where you are. I don't care what's happening to you. There's a God that is present. Children of Israel come out of the bondage. They didn't talk about the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. I tell you, man. But I like how God kind of throws things together. Don't y'all? They're coming out of there with that high hand out of Egypt. And guess what? Boom, this big cloud shows up. Boy, it starts getting dark. Boom, it turns into a pillar of fire and illuminates that dark place. It's a symbol of the presence of God. They don't talk. I'm there in my notes. Y'all can look. Believe it or not, I got some. Paul was walking down the Damascus Road. And a great light shined. Guess what? He didn't just talk about that light when he got to Cornelius' house. He went to Felix. And for all the theologians think you've got to go around telling everybody the great depths and the dirt underneath of the toenails of Daniel and both coming under that the statue in the book of Daniel. And you've got to do all this and you've got to have all this accolades. And all, let me tell you something. The greatest preacher other than the Lord Jesus Christ came down. Hey, listen to me. Paul went in and talked to the king and said, hey, he said, Paul, you're beside yourself. He said, I can't help it. He said, one day I was walking that road. The great light shined. Amen. The presence of God appeared. See, it scares most Christians today when God shows up in a church service. They say, oh, they're turning into a cult. Isn't that awful? We got the religionists saying, oh, they're turning into a cult. And then we got the government saying, oh, they're a bunch of haters. kind of puts you in a predicament, don't it? I'm glad for the peace of God, because I don't care what anybody thinks, if y'all hadn't noticed. Amen? Listen, cannot stop the presence of God. I'm going to hurry. The Bible says that not only could Satan not stop, listen to me, he was in prison. Four quatorians of soldiers, that's 16 soldiers. A quartorian is four soldiers. They would shift change. They would change every 4 hours. And they were they was. And four would be there. One on the other side of the prisoner. Isn't that awful? And two in the, at the door. For a guy didn't do nothing more than preach. It's coming to America. He's asleep. Matter of fact, he is in such peace, an angel has to go down there and go, "Get up! I mean, this cat's out." You say, you shouldn't be disrespectful of the apostles. Listen to me. He was asleep. Lastly, in the last part of verse 7, "Arise up quickly." That's when he kicked him. Nah, I don't know if he kicked him or not. "And his chains fell off his hands." See, Satan can't stop the power of God. He's trying. When he teaches, listen, when that bunch of knotheads down there at the public school system or down at our local colleges look at our kids and say, "Hey, you ain't nothing but an evolved animal." You know what they're trying to do? He's trying to stop the light. That illuminating knowledge of the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? We'll raise our kids in a good fundamental Bible-believing church and send them to a bunch of wolves. I ain't here for no popularity vote. Got a place to preach, I think. I might not want to get back. I don't know. But listen to me. I'm telling you that they're trying their best to stomp out any illumination of Scripture or Scripture's God or His Christ out of your children's lives right now. I'm glad, brother, there's a Christian school around here. Amen. My two kids was either educated in a Christian school, or where they couldn't get to a good one, we homeschooled them. You say, "Well, you're just la-ti-da." No. No. And I told them, I said, "Hey, if y'all want to go to college, I'll help you what I can. I ain't got much, but I'll help you what I can. But if you go to a Bible college, you go to a public college, you're on your own." Preacher. No, y'all listen to me. There are some things of greater value than an education and a career. Amen. And what they learn in our Sunday school classes and what they learn from camp meeting and preaching every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. When God's people get together and they study, and "Mom and Dad, I hope you're doing this. Taking the Word of God, opening it up on the coffee table and giving your children the Word of God." It illuminates them to who God is. And Satan will do his best, but you listen to me. And I could go down a lot of different avenues, but I'm telling you that the world wants to stomp the light out of your children. But I can tell you the power of God will cause that not to happen. You say, what happened here? Well, this man was set free. He had the chains upon him. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say what happened to the guards. Probably like most Baptists at a good spiritual meeting. I ain't lying to you. You know what we need? We need to realize that, hey, without the power of God, nobody's set free. Your nice building? Huh? Our fancy dress? Our clothes? Not going to make a lick of difference. One thing's going to make a difference. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Did you hear me? I've said it before and I'll say it again. In the average fundamental church right now, you can go in and say, "Holy Ghost!" And it's like pulling back a double-barreled hammer and shotgun, if you could pull them back. Anyway, hey, they duck. It's like, oh my goodness, what's happening here? I'll tell you what's happening. We better get back. Now, I'm not talking about Pentecostal doctrine. I'm talking about Pentecostal, hey, like was in the book of Acts, where God showed up. Amen. And there was a rushing mighty wind. And guess what followed that? 3,000 people got saved. Our Your dry, dead orthodoxy is not going to change a world that's lost. They need to feel the power of God in our services. And let me tell you something. Satan can't stop it. Satan can't stop the power of God in our services. Only we can. Come to church dreading it. We ought to prepare to come to church. Do y'all agree? We ought to prepare in some way. Even if you work right up and just time to... Hey, I had a guy show up. He worked in coal mines in West Virginia. I actually drove a coal truck. And he sang in the choir. And buddy, he drove for an hour and a half after he got off work. Didn't have time to get... Listen, did not have time to go home and shower. So he come there, coal dust all over him. Went right in the choir. Got up there and sang to Jesus. You say, oh, I can't believe you would allow that to happen. I'd rather have me two or three cold soot covered people that know something about the power of God than I would a whole church full of icicles. Amen. You know what we need? We need to get back to where we rely. We depend. We long and hunger and yearn for the power of God to be in our presence. Lastly, the Bible says when they, in verse number 10, when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate, which leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Satan cannot stop the progress of God. Iron gates. The Bible says they opened of their own accord. They don't have spirits. They don't have intellect. They're iron. Like the clay statues of Buddha. Have no intellect, no power. I can tell you who opened the gates. It was the Lord. See, all Peter wanted to do is go tell somebody about Jesus. You say, preacher, they stopped me at work from doing it. Really? They got you down? Don't you ever. Never. Tell me you're never going to mention that name. No, they ain't nobody ever done that. You're going to mess around doing that stuff and talking about that Jesus guy and all that stuff. You're going to mess your career up. That's all it takes. Okay, I'm shut up then. See? I thank God for people. I thank God for kids that go to school and bow their head over their meal and pray when their peers are mocking them. Little girl in West Virginia not long ago was there. This little pretty little girl stopped and bowed first day of school, bowed her head and began to pray over her meal. And didn't have no more sense than just say, Jesus, thank you for this food out loud. And some little girls come over and took salt shakers and poured it in her hair. Blessed are ye which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You see, what happened? They was trying to shut down the preaching of the Word of God, the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like they're doing today. But I want to tell you what happened. Because some people was praying, because some people had some peace that passes all understanding, because some people had the power of God in their lives, the progress of God and His work went on. Look with me, verse 24. The Bible says, but the Word of God grew and multiplied. The reason our country is not saturated with the gospel of Jesus Christ is because we have stopped it, not Satan. Oh, the devil's just fought us. You know, we just can't do what we used to do. Give me a break. When you've got a God as big as the God you say you serve, nothing should stop you from doing what God has called you to do. The average person could walk up and say, maybe it's a sign from the Lord. Y'all ought to just quit that singing business. I mean, you bus. I mean, come on. If God's God, He'd keep that bus running, wouldn't He? What? Sunday school teacher. My little child come home and said, you said sit down so the other kids can understand. And they come and said, don't you tell my children to sit down.
You hurt my feelings, preacher. I just give up my class.
Really?
Really? Jesus, aren't you glad he didn't quit? Aren't you glad he wasn't easily offended? Aren't you glad to know that God said he could give us power? He gave us power to become witnesses. Power to do the work. Listen, guys, I'm not here to compete with any of these brothers, and I don't think they are either. I don't get that from these guys. I've been in some places that was like, okay, yeah, man, he preached him under the table. Y'all, oh, bless. You know what? I told somebody this at lunch. I'm glad Jesus said, study to show yourself approved unto God. Not unto you. Not unto you or you, 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 you. No. There's one I'm trying to please. It's Him. And He gave us everything we need to do at church. He gave you everything. Some of you sit in here and God may be dealing with some of you little knotheads over here. Hey! About preaching. Right? And maybe some of you little ladies right here that God's already started just kind of strumming the strings of your soul about being a missionary or a Sunday school teacher or working in a Christian school somewhere telling little kids about how to be saved and how to grow up and be good Christian people and giving them a little education on the side. Huh? I can't do that, preacher. I'm here to tell you today we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. I know everybody here is saved. Matter of fact, everybody in Lamar County where we're at in Alabama is saved. I've done knocked on their doors. They've done all said they're saved, you know? But I'm telling you what, if you are here and you're lost, nobody can stop you from going to heaven but you. Nobody. Why? Because there's some things that Satan can't stop. I'm glad I serve a big God, aren't y'all? I want you to bow your heads. We'll get ready to go eat here in just a minute.